Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back. Oh, thank you, Joyce. I'm glad one person thinks so. I've been coming every month. And I just walk from, I only live round the corner. But 2 months ago when I came out of the house, the snow was so high. My son-in-law, who lives 2 doors away, was going to give me a lift in the car, and he couldn't get the car off the drive because of the snow. And I walked round. We're in the new season. I walked round today, I'm feeling quite hot in my jacket now. I'll have to take it off in a minute. But you know, isn't it amazing how a season can change so quickly? From the snow and all the cars skidding and all the people clearing the road up to the little drive up to chapel, today Steve coming in his shorts. A big change, isn't it? I just want to encourage you with this. Spiritual seasons change like seasons of the year. Not just spiritual seasons for an individual, but spiritual seasons for a church. Sometimes it can feel like, will I ever get my car up this road again? You know, because of all the snow. Then within a time of God's choosing comes another season when you're basking in the sun. Spell S-O-N. As well as basking in the sun, spell S-U-N. You can tell I went to school, can't you? And I want to encourage you. Seasons are changing. One season is going from that season to the next season. And God has got all you need for the season that's coming. You're not short of anything. As you reflect on today's passage we're going to read in a minute, and we reflect a little bit at the very start on the theme of the series, just be encouraged. My God is not short of anything. My dad, as it says in the Bible, owns a cattle on a thousand hills. You know, he's got everything you need, not just financially, but practically in many ways. He's got everything you need for the next season. And so we can rely on him to be our guide, to be our leader, to be our teacher, to be the one who helps us progress and move forwards. Is with us. We can stick our hand in our Heavenly Father's hand, and we can go for a walk with Dad, and he's going to take us on. We're just going to read the story in Luke, and then I'll go into a little bit of an introduction with the passage. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 10. And this story is not just in Luke, it's in some of the other Gospels as well, so there'll be slight variations from the different passages. But it reads like this. It's headed, Jesus feeds 5,000. Aren't you glad they're not coming round to your house for Sunday? Jesus feeds 5,000. It reads like this. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed them. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodgings, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we buy food for all the crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. Thank God for that reading from his word. Now our God is a God who provides. The verse in Genesis 22:14, just reads like this. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will, notice that will, that word will, it will be provided. It will be provided. And one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. I can count on my provider. My provider or my source is not my pay packet, my pension, my this, my that, my other. My provider and my source is Jehovah Jireh. That's why in new seasons I can count on him. That's why in changing seasons I can count on him. In the series you've been doing, you've been thinking about the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. I just want to read another passage before we get into this story. Think about provider, Jehovah Jireh, Lord provides. And thinking about what you've been thinking about is going to help us unpack this passage. So we're going to look at John 14, starting at verse 15. John 14:15. And here it's going to describe the relationship between the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a description. And it's to help us see that how we fit in. That we're in, and they're in us. And it reads like this. So it's John 14, starting at verse 15, and reading through to verse 21. It reads like this. If you love me, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. That's the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. So you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So Jesus is in the Father, we're in him, and he is in us. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoever has my commands keeps them. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Let's just stop for a second and remember that. You are loved of God. And we can think, I know that, but sometimes it's just worth stopping. And think what that really means. Think about what there's a description in Corinthians of love. Love is patient, love is kind. God has that for you. You're loved. You're in Christ Jesus. Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You're part of the... You're in the Godhead in that sense. You're part of the Godhead, but he's there. He's there with you. And he leads you on. And just as we think about the Spirit being in us, it's just worth reading out the fruit of the Spirit again, just to remind us about that fruit that's in us. And it says this in Galatians 5:22-26. It just reads like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking and or envying of each other. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. That means I'm in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus in me. He's in the Father. The Spirit's in me. And I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. Wherever I go, I'm keeping attuned to the Holy Spirit. Because He is my guide. He corrects my footsteps. He guides my footsteps. He leads me. So where I go, He's guiding me. And I go as the Son of the King. Because I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. So I'm walking with the Holy Spirit in me. Fill me, the Son of the King. And God is Jehovah, the one who... Hey, it's great when you don't have to preach all the sermon. I'm the one who provides. You think about that when you go through life. I go through some hard times in life. I go through some easier times in life. Don't get distracted by easier times and think you can cope on your own. Keep your eyes on. Keep your hand in His hand. And keep on going. When we read this, when we reflect on this story of the five feeding the 5,000 in a minute, you see, we're going to learn a bit about how Jesus kept on discipling the disciples. He kept on stretching them. He kept on showing them how much God is Jehovah Jireh. How much He provides for them. He kept on showing them what it's like to be to have the Holy Spirit in you, working through you in power. The same Holy Spirit that was in Christ Jesus is in every one of us that's in Christ Jesus. Wow. Sometimes I have to pinch myself. Because when you really think about it, that's true. The same Holy Spirit that was in Christ Jesus is in me. That's humbling, but it's challenging and encouraging all at the same time. As we go through this story, I'm just going to reflect on this story. And this story... Turn my Bible back to the story, and it starts off with this. When the disciples returned, hold on, where have they been? Have you ever thought of that? Where did the disciples come from? What have they been doing? And so let's just read just a few verses prior to give us a background of what's happened. So the start of verse 9 just reads like this. Chapter 9, verse 1, just says this. When Jesus called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases, and He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and the healing of the sick. So just before the feeding of 5,000, they'd been on mission, preaching the good news of Jesus in towns and villages, healing the sick. But He goes on to challenge them in this way. He says to them, take nothing for the journey. That's interesting, isn't it? Take nothing for the journey. No staff. Now what does a staff do? It helps you walk. It helps you keep going in the right path, the right direction. But it also is a protection for you. So in other words, don't take your own direction. Don't take your own protection. Then it says, no staff, no bag. What do you put in your bag? You put all the things you think you just might need. In other words, don't take a bag with the things you think you just might need. Then he goes on to say, take no bread, so no food, no money. Well, this is getting a bit more worrying now. No money, no extra shirt. Now, they weren't going away for a day. They were going for a number of days in a very hot climate. Don't take a change of clothes with you. Why? Jehovah Jireh is going to provide in the towns and the villages. He's going to give you a place to sleep. He's going to give you food. He's going to give you protection. He's going to give you provision. He's going to give you direction. And He's even going to give you new clothes. Because you can't keep the same ones on all the time. No change of clothes. He's going to give you something. He's going to provide for you. What Jesus wanted them to do was experience the provision of God for themselves personally as they ministered through the Holy Spirit. And that's what they've just been going through. So when it says at the start of this story of the 5,000, when the apostles returned, they've not just been following Jesus around, they've been doing that. But they've actually been ministering themselves and relying totally on God to provide everything they need for themselves for that season. But now he was going to stretch them. Now they weren't going to provide just for themselves. He was going to teach them to have the faith to provide for 5,000 people and feed them. Now it'll be 5,000 men plus women and children. And it reads like this. It says, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. So they had seen many people healed, many people come to faith in Jesus, many people believe in the kingdom. All sorts of things happened, and they've been provided for. Then he took them with him and withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learnt about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Think about this. The apostles return, then Jesus withdrew with them so he could minister them, he could teach them a bit more. But you know what? There were some people who just wanted to be near to Jesus. Wow. They weren't going to let him get away. They had their running shoes on, so to speak. They were going to find him. They were going to track him down. Why? They just wanted to have to know more of Jesus. They just wanted to absorb, as it were, more of Jesus, more of his teaching, more of what he knew about the kingdom. They wanted to learn. They wanted to grow. You know, when you get fed, if you exercise properly, you grow big and strong. Oh, sort of the stomach in, as I say. Big and strong. But they want to do that spiritually. These people were keen. And notice what happened. Jesus withdrew with his disciples. They followed him. The crowds followed him. But he welcomed them. It says he welcomed them. Isn't that interesting? Think about a time you just wanted to get away from everything and people followed you. You know, sometimes, humanly speaking, you can get a bit frustrated. But he welcomed them. Why? They were hungry. They wanted more of him, and he was willing to give them more. So he welcomed them. He spiritually fed them. He taught them about the kingdom. He spiritually fed them. Then he healed them physically and mentally. He would heal people. And then it goes on to say, so the disciples have seen what they've seen as they went out on their own. Then they've seen this big crowd of people come to Jesus. They've seen Jesus minister to them, feed them spiritually, and then heal many. Then they said this, it goes on to say this, verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodgings, because we are in a remote place here. Notice this. They saw a need. Think about this for a minute. What's going on? They're looking at these 5,000 plus. And they're going, someone's going to have to feed them. They saw it. They had compassion. This didn't come from a frustration. It came from a compassion. You see, they were starting to see as God sees. But at the moment, they didn't quite have the faith and know how to answer the need. So their practical explanation was, just send them away to find it for themselves. But you see, God was starting to teach them something. He was going to teach them that God is bigger than any situation we may ever face. He always has a way through it. Some of these apostles and some of the other apostles like Paul who would join, they would travel all over the then known world. They would deal with many situations in years to come. They would have to go through many hardships or many challenges. But Jesus was teaching these apostles faith. You know, in the Bible it tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. So don't just see the 5,000 people and think I can't feed them all. See the 5,000 people and see the miraculous miracle that God can do. So it goes on to say in verse 13, he replied, you give them something to eat. So they've got the vision from God. They could see a need and they feel called to meet that need, and the only thing they can think of doing is send them away. But then Jesus says, you feed them. Whoa. You notice what they did? They started to tell Jesus what they had. And he said this, it says this, "You give them something to eat," he replied. They answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now we know from the other stories of this story, the other Gospels, it was a young lad who brought it. But in here, this is what they're saying to Jesus. "Look, we've been round everyone and the only thing left is 5 loaves, 2 fish. Humanly speaking, that feeds one small boy." Because that's who it was made for. "Humanly speaking, it doesn't feed a man. There's a difference between a man-sized meal and a young boy-sized meal. It doesn't feed a man." You see, we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight says that's the kid's meal. Faith says that's enough to feed everyone with God. Now, when you reflect on this, you see, these disciples would have known different stories. They would have known the stories of the widow's oil in 2 Kings 4, 1 to 17, 1 to 7. You remember the widow whose 2 sons were going to be taken away from her, and she goes to the prophet Elisha, and she says to Elisha, the creditors are going to take my children away as slaves, basically that's what they were doing, unless I can pay them the money. My husband, who was a prophet, has left me in debt. And he asked her this question, "What have you got in the house?" See, sometimes we see a problem being far too big and we forget to look at what we have got. We look at what we need and to tell everyone what we need, but we don't look at what we have got. The answer starts with what we have got. And so in that story, she says, "I've got a small jar of oil, olive oil." He says to her, "Go and collect as many pots as you can from all the neighbours." So she gets her sons and they collect and they collect and they collect, and knocking on doors and collecting. They line all these pots up. Then they start to pour this oil that shouldn't have even gone anywhere near, even covering the bottom of the first pot, because it was only small. But it filled the first pot. It filled the second pot. It filled the third pot. It filled the fourth pot. And this is when you know I went to my maths class. It filled the fifth pot and kept on filling. And it kept on filling. And it kept on filling until all the pots were filled and there was enough to pay off a debt and keep her and her children until they were old enough to work. See, God doesn't just answer your need, He answers what you haven't even thought of yet. He is your provider. He's your source. He's Jehovah Jireh. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So here's the disciples with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What to do? They know to give them to Jesus. What have you got in your hand? And we can ask ourselves that question. What I've got as an individual, what we've got as a family, what we've got as a church, might not seem big. But if we put it in the Master's hand, if we allow God, if we say it's come from God, so I'm giving it to God and say, that's what we've got. Guess what? God brings the increase. And here what's absolutely fascinating in this story, I'll read from verse 13 again. He replied to them, "You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all the crowd, about 5,000 men. But he said to the disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. Notice what they did. It says this, the disciples did so. See, they've learned that faith. They didn't have faith themselves at the minute to do the miracle. They've seen other miracles done through them when they've been out preaching, but they had faith that he was going to do a miracle. They got 5,000 men plus women and children in groups of 50. Now that's a logistical exercise in itself. So they got them on the hillside in groups of 50. Then Jesus does this, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. So he looks up to heaven, give thanks for what you've got. never look down on what you've got. Never go, it's not worth much. If God's given you something, treasure it. Because it's miraculous. It's seed, it can grow. So Jesus looked up to heaven, he thanked God for it, he broke it. He then gave it to his disciples, who then went and broke it and gave it to a group of 50 here, a group of 50 there. Imagine how much bread in human normal terms it would take to feed 50 people. You're talking a big crate of bread, aren't you? They're going out, and as Jesus broke it and prayed over it, he passed it to his disciples. They broke it and prayed over it, and it increased again. Jesus increased for them. And as the people passed it round and broke it into 50, it seemed to go, and it went all the way around the 50. I don't think it just grew with Jesus. I think because they had faith, then it multiplied with them as well. When you think about the volume that was being created. And all 5,000 men, plus women and children, were fed and were satisfied. And not only that, it says towards the end, it says this. He gave thanks and broke it. Then he gave them to his disciples, to distribute to the people. They all had and were satisfied. They didn't just have enough to put them on. That's interesting, isn't it? They were satisfied. Have you ever had a meal and felt satisfied? You sit back in the armchair and you go, oh, Father, that was a good meal. You don't just go, oh, that just put me on, I can't wait for my tea. When you're satisfied, it's like armchair job, isn't it? Nodding up in the afternoon, Christmas Day. See, that's what God does. He's not just going to give you enough. And I think this is a word for you as a church. Look at what you've got in your hands. Don't look at anything else. Don't look at what they've got over there or what they've got over there. Have you seen that in a restaurant? If you all sit around the table and everyone gets different meals and everyone's going, what have they got over there? And we should have got that. Can I have a piece of yours? No. What he does, he says, look at what you've got in your hands. Because I'm going to grow it. Be prepared to give it to me. Be prepared to follow what I say. This is a new season. And I am Jehovah Jireh. And on the mountain of the Lord, the place where God's honoured, the place where God's glorified, the place where he's worshipped, on the mountain of the Lord, guess what it... I'm going to do that one more time and we'll see if we get slightly more volume. I'll turn it up. On the mountain of it... And I want you to say that to yourself. Not so you rush off and do stupid things. And say, well, they said God will give me anything. No. He'll give you what you need for what he's called you to do. And he'll give you enough that you're satisfied. And the need is satisfied. I want you to grab hold of that and walk in that. Because sometimes we can look at what we haven't got. And when we look at what we have got and we look at who we're giving it back to, oh, it's enough. He's given me enough. It might only look like to you like I've got a kid's meal. This is a banquet. It might look like to you I've just got a little jar of oil that's not worth tuppence ain't it. That is old money, isn't it? That's a couple of pence to people in you. But guess what? It's enough to satisfy. It's enough to pay that lady's debts off. It's enough to stop her children being enslaved. It's enough to give them a future and a hope. It's enough to actually be radical and transformational. In this church this morning, there is enough to be radical and to be transformational. It's not going to be just like the one down the church down the road that way or that way or that way or that way or anywhere in the middle. It's going to be enough for what God is calling you to do as a church and to be. And the being is more important even than the doing. They're both important. But it's important that we be who God's made us to be. And then we walk with the Spirit and we do what God's called us to do. Because we're being what God's called us to be. I just want to say this, I felt this laid on my heart heavy this week, just to say to you, you are enough in Christ Jesus. Let that sink in. It's a new season. It's a new season. The same Holy Spirit that was in Christ Jesus is where? In you. You're in Christ. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. He ain't finished with you yet. In fact, he's got a lot for you to do, so get ready. He's got a lot for you to be in him. He's got more of him to show you. Ah, that's going to be exciting. Learning more of him. Experiencing more of him. Rejoicing in more than him. He's got that for you. He's got a plan laid out for you and a path laid out with you. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I'm writing this one out. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him, me dad. And with me dad. And he will direct your paths. Don't try and direct them yourself. I'll be you know, on the crossroads when the light goes out and the policeman has to do all this business. That caused chaos, me. I'll be waving at everyone, going past and going. But you see, we can do that ourselves, can't we? If we try and make our paths ourselves, with the best intentions, we can make a right mess of it. He doesn't. He makes my paths. And he's got a path already laid out for you individually, for your family and this church. Let's just pray. Father God, we just want to acknowledge that you are Jehovah Jireh. And on the mountain of the Lord, it will, and we stress that word will, because that's a promise from you. It will be provided. We thank you that you are a healer, you are a restorer, you bring salvation, you bring hope, you bring joy, you bring love, you bring peace, you bring patience, etc. Thank you. Thank you that we can experience the Holy Spirit working in and working through our lives. And we give this next season to you. For ourselves individually, for our families, for our church. And we just say, Father God, may you move in power. Thank you. You have given all that we need. And you are all that we need. Thank you for what you're going to do in and through us in the next season. In the name of Jesus. Amen.